Here we are.
Here we are. I don't think that's our regular music. I don't know what went on. And that's what happens when you leave me producing things. But I am so glad we're here. Corey, thank you for joining me today.
I'm looking forward to our conversation today. Louise is excited about this.
Yeah. So I'm really curious. What's one thing that maybe you're celebrating that's gone really well for you lately? I'd love to hear about that today.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I was thinking this morning a little bit about that. I felt like that would probably be part of our conversation here. Yeah. And I'll reference an event, but if I think of sort of the impact or what I'm thankful that event that took place recently is just, I think, really being able to make a difference using the skills that I'm very passionate about and have worked really hard to develop. And that's what I'm really celebrating right now. I work full-time at Decor Cabinets. I'm a trainer facilitator there, but I do some contract facilitating for an organization called Arbinger. And Arbinger is about outward mindset and the impact of that mindset on relationships and work. And so I got to lead a two-day facilitation with a team. And, you know, when you are in those moments where you can just see that people are connecting the dots between, you know, whether it's a tool or a concept, and all of a sudden their own life is kind of coming in, and you have those aha moments, right, that we all sort of yearn for. And so I had a number of those over the last 2 days, and I'm going, oh, like, this is so fantastic that people are seeing this, they're getting it, they see how this can impact personal and work, and, you know, and that just, it gets me really excited because I do genuinely love people, and to see, hey, is there anything I can do to help you move forward in your goals and what you're wrestling with? So,
I love that. I love the sparkle people get in their eyes, right? When you can just see, like, you see the light bulb and you see them connect the dots, and it just, it gets you jazzed, especially when we're in this kind of this self-development, personal development, professional development space, because it's all the same, right? And so when people can start making those connections and weave that together, it's tingly. And we're going to talk more. I want to know more about the outward mindset that you went to with Arbinger, but we'll get there. Lots of things to talk about today. And Kim is not here to hold me back. And so who knows what's going to come out of my mouth today.
But not wait. He's unleashed. That'll be the next title for your podcast.
yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm celebrating, you and I were talking a little bit about backstage about kind of like being introverts, and then how we kind of like take step out of the limelight a little bit and just take a step back. And when we can, you know, challenge ourselves and face the fear a little bit and step in and share a message or share a story, it really is impactful and empowering. Last weekend, I did something very scary and very exciting for me. And I joined an improv group. And
okay, wow.
and we got together just for a weekend. It was just a workshop filled with amazing women. I think there was about 14 of us. Didn't really know anyone, had an acquaintance in the group, but it was really scary for me to actually get to the theater, never mind get on stage, never mind with a surprise performance at the end of our workshop in front of about 100 people, opening for an improv troupe who was celebrating their birthday. And this was all kind of like, all came together at the last minute, or maybe it was kept from me for a reason, because I don't know if I would have gone for it all. But what an experience, and what a gem, and what a nugget for me to be able to hold on to and just kind of challenge myself. And feel the fear and do it anyways. And that it's kind of all ties into a little bit of our topic today too.
Yeah, totally. Well, I'm first going to say that wasn't what I expect you to say, but good on you. Right. And so much richer for it. And those experiences, we don't let fear guide our decision-making process, especially when it comes to new fun opportunities. Right. And other areas too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to do a really quick intro. you know, kind of who you are, and you're kind of my co-host slash guest today. But yeah, so Corey Keller has been in the role of people development for, I bet, at least the last 20 years, both in nonprofit and profit organizations. During this time, Corey has been a public speaker, a trainer, a leader, and a mentor. And you, Corey, currently work at creating and delivering content that helps leaders grow and lead impactful teams. Oh, so dear to my heart, too. Your hobbies include mountain biking, buying cars online, auctions in Japan. Ooh, that sounds interesting and kind of scary.
Some of my biggest mistakes are probably linked to those. But, maybe for another time. We'll see.
Yeah, so Corey's married to wife Corey, has three kiddos who are all married, three grandkiddos, and is a proud puppy parent as well. And me too, you'll probably hear Rhodey bark or Charlie meow every once in a while because they're always here on the show.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love it.
So, Corey, I want to know, when you and I first connected, it was because of actually a comment on LinkedIn that you and I started conversing about pivots in our careers and taking kind of like a stop and then a hard turn from where we thought we would be to where we needed to go. So share with our audience a little bit about your career journey and kind of that pivot that you made.
Yeah, no, that's... That's great. So you'll just have to like hold up stop when I'm talking too much because sometimes, you know, I think, you know, we'll go back, but I won't spend too much time there. But, you know, I grew up, you know, and just really had no sense of, you know, purpose and career and what do I want to do with my life? You graduate and my friends are all have these grand visions. And, you know, I was just wrestling for one. I was trying to choose something and, you know, my dad at that time was building a business. So I just went and worked with him for a while. I just worked and tried to figure some things out. And so I'm journeying through my work process and, you know, got in the workforce and in a management role and now later in another organization. And someone comes up to me, you know, a friend of mine. And so part of my journey is a church related faith journey. So that will be a little bit part of our conversation here. But, you know, said, hey, you seem really great with teenagers. Have you ever considered, you know, working, mentoring teenagers, young adults, all of that stuff? And so I'm saying all this because as I look back and think about this topic, there's been a number of just pivots in my life where I go, wow, I had no idea that this was going to be my life. And so I, you know, I hummed and hawed my wife and I wrestled with it because we never assumed that I would work in that kind of an environment before and the cost that it would take. And thankfully we didn't know all the costs, but I went from, you know, a great career in a managerial role with lots of other opportunities and felt like we just sort of did a pivot and fell right into this thing called, you know, working with youth and young adults full time. And yeah. And that began a 20 year journey really of learning. And the first year was, wow, that was really rough just because I just realized I have underqualified and under equipped and all those things. Right. And so I did that for about 20 years and really loving it, thinking that that would be the rest of my life. And, you know, I had transitioned into more of an associate role within our church organization. So moving up there, they asked if I build a leadership development school for young adults who are kind of in their gap year. So we did that. And that was like, oh, wow, I'm really excited again and pumped up and dreaming about the vision. And then, you know, like so many things that COVID impacted, it was that. And so they decided to discontinue the school. And so that sort of was taken away. And there's other opportunities that they're asking me to kind of step into. And I'm just like, I just don't know. Right. And that was sort of the first time that 20 years, it's like, should I do something else? Right. And my wife and I were, and anyone who's pivot, you know, on one hand, you're really excited about new possibilities. On the other hand, you're just like crazy scared because, you know, it's a whole new world. And I think where I wanted to go, I wanted to go into corporate. I wanted to take some of those skills that I had and move in to that world and facilitation and training and development. And yet it was a world that I just wasn't, it's been 20 years, right? And so I think that was, you know, something that I still look back and I just can't even believe I did it because you know, and I talk to people about having a good exit plan now. And I use my story as an example of what not to do. Right. So I didn't know. I knew, okay, I want to go into corporate and I don't have a place here anymore. So let's just leave, you know, and I did that. And I took a job. Actually, I have a nephew who owns a painting company, and I started painting, and I did that for 2 years, just trying to figure this next step out and making connections. And finally, after a lot of, you know, really just hard work and searching, went back to university and began to develop some more skills there. I had an organization here that was willing to take a chance on it started as a 6-month term. You know, you either going to show us what you can do something or you're out. And then that turned into 1 year. But I think there were so many things going on at that time, but just pausing right there, that was for me just, again, something out of the blue that I just never thought would come my way.
When we don't have a plan or a direction, yeah, it gets really hard to know what to do, right? Like, yeah, I talk a lot to my clients about like finding your compass, right? Like, we might not know exactly the route to take, but if we have a compass, if we have a North Star and we know what direction we want to go, when these opportunities come to us, we kind of know a little bit more about, do I get closer to what I want, or does that take me farther away? And I think, you know, and I was the same way too, is like, I never did any kind of career planning or even put any thought into like what direction I was going to go. Yeah. And so I would take opportunities that felt good. And then I get to a point where it's like, yeah, but I just don't know anymore. And taking a step back and how I think that courage that it took to totally step out of that and just say, you know what, I'm just going to paint for a year. I'm going to like kind of disconnect and do some soul searching, disconnect from the old part of me.
Right.
Some soul searching. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally. And that was the part. You know, I think you don't realize sometimes just how your identity is so formed and shaped by, you know, what you do. You have a sense of it, but, you know, you're so wrapped up in this one world and all the people that are in it. And then all of a sudden, boom, that's all gone. And yes, it was my decision. But now in that year and a half of soul searching, there was like, who actually am I? And, what am I actually all about? Because it was all this before. And so there is definitely some really, really, yeah, good days, but some really down days, right? Self-doubt and fear and the what did I, maybe I did, made a mistake, all yeah, that comes in.
Yeah. And then you get an opportunity to kind of experiment a little bit, to kind of take a chance, to kind of feel the fear and lean in anyways, and mm-hmm, then try something completely new.
Well, exactly. Right. And, you know, you talk about, you know, facing our fears and, you know, I always, and this is probably a lie that most of us maybe believe, but it's like, there's going to come a day where I actually won't be fearful. And then I'll step out and do all of these things. And it took me 52 years just to realize, wow, fear is probably not ever going to leave my life. it's what am I going to do, you know, in spite of that?
Yeah.
And it's there, and you've probably heard countless stories like this before, but it's there that, as you said, the new possibilities emerge as I'm stepping out in something, I'm afraid, I don't know how it's going to go. And yet there's this little part in the back of your brain, maybe that's saying, ooh, there could be something fun here. There could be something exciting here. Let's not quit now.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it becomes this conflict of like all of these parts of us that are speaking up and trying to have voice, I guess. You talked about, you know, if you could do it over, or what you tell folks about kind of creating an exit strategy. If you could go back and kind of do it over, what would you do differently?
I think part of it is, I think I had like that compass was maybe it was a little, you know, a little wavery, but I still had a sense of wanting to be, you know, in that, you know, L&D space. I think really probably a little more research in regard to, you know, what's some of the skill sets that that corporate's going to provide, right? There's a few other people who I knew were in the HR slash L&D space and would have probably taken more time to connect, trying to gain more understanding of, you know, what does it actually look like to succeed in this role? Here's my skill set based on your opinion. You know, what am I missing? And then maybe take an approach where, hey, I'm working, you know, I'm building some of that skill set. So when I come in and it's a little more hit the ground running, I think there is also a financial component to this, right? Where, you know, my wife and I, okay, that part of our life is done. Let's just move forward. And oh, what, now we have to cut back and readjust our budget. And so there was a pretty big lifestyle impact for a number of years that, you know, again, we survived and it was fine, but you know, it just meant there were certain things we had to cut out and maybe should have thought about that a little bit more. And I think the component that you just don't really know, and I've already sort of alluded to this, is just that whole identity piece. You just don't see how big that's going to play into it. So I don't know if I could have done much about that, but maybe just a little more planning, a few more conversations, connecting with people and just getting a greater sense of needs out there. So
it was the same for me too, because I left my corporate life almost like a hard stop, because I knew I was done. I probably knew I was done before I was done, but I hung on there a bit too long. Mm-hmm. And then instead of like hitting a burnout wall, I just decided to like drop it and create my runway, right? A little bit of financial right backing that I had, but I too had to buckle down and make some tough financial choices, but it really served me. And just having that opportunity to explore myself and figure out like me and not what I should be doing or what that next logical step was. And then I decided, I just start a business. And then, you got to put a little more plan to that, but it's working, because 6 years in, I'm still surviving and keeping my head above water. But it's so interesting. I have this kind of this theory that we do have to, before we can like put ourselves out there, we kind of have to know ourselves first, right? We have to go on this journey of self-discovery so that when we do land professionally, our insides match our outsides. And I think for a lot of people, we just keep looking for the outside. We look for the job boards. We look for the, right, what's going on, what's out there. I can do anything. So now I'm trying to do this and this and this. But if you don't take that inside piece and time to kind of self-discover, I think then it even is more scary to take a leap. Because you don't know what you got.
Exactly, right. And even as you're saying that, I'm thinking too. You know, first of all, what a great way to put it. But if you just pursue that outside, I find that often when things don't kind of come up maybe as quickly as you want, or there's struggle, well, I'll just default back to then what I was doing, right? And you almost sort of miss that opportunity to do. What I have found is to be that really hard work of pressing in and that discovery and realizing, no, this is actually what I want so badly that I'm not going to allow the temptation of maybe the easy, right, to go back to what I'm used to, but keep moving forward in spite of that, because there's something here that just feels very real to me that I've discovered, as you've mentioned, right?
Yeah. And that fear reaches in and like shakes us all up and right, like challenges us, shakes our self-confidence, puts obstacles in our way. It's that fear that I always say to folks too, it's like the thing that scares you the most, that's the thing you're supposed to be doing.
Like public speaking or starting a podcast, all the things.
All of those things, right? It's listening to your body, and it's like tapping into that. I think there's energy there. And when we face the fear, it's like we kind of, instead of like fighting against it, it's like, how do we bring it along on our journey?
Right. And use it as a motivator, right? Because I think a lot of times we can think of examples how fear really paralyzes us. But, you know, and I think the more stake you have in the game, so to speak, right? I think about, you know, my wife and my children, my grandchildren and stuff like that, and want to do great things for them. You know, it's like, to me, that's a fantastic motivator. It's like, guys, this is hard work and you're going to be patient with me, but I am so committed to this because I want to see us win with this, right? And it's a good thing for me.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely. So tell me what's like, here you're on your career journey and you're still figuring it out where you're going to land, what you're going to do. And you said like you took an experiment that kind of turned out and worked for you. What's the most exciting thing that is going on right now in your career journey?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's sort of twofold. But they're actually really interconnected. We here at Decor, we just finished building, a leadership development program, and we've led variations of the program while I was here and before I'm here, right? And you're always sort of looking for, you know, different avenues to connect with people, to inspire people. And so we've just kind of gone through our first sort of iteration of that program, and you know, we walk now on the production floor, and we have, you know, conversations with some of the leaders and some of the direct reports, and you just sort of hear these little stories of transformation where people are inspired to do something differently, or you know, a leader is finding, you know, it easier to work with their team, right? So again, it's that change and that transformation, you know, based on that. And so, and I think the second one is closely related. When I got to Decor here, they had done a little bit of work with the company we referenced earlier called the Arbinger Institute. And I connected with them right away. There was something about the content, the approach, the impact, the results that really just captured, like, yes, this is, when I speak this speaks volumes to who I am and what I really believe as valuable in, not the only thing, but something really key. And so about 2.5 years ago, I reached out to them, and, you know, I was trained to facilitate here within the organization. So we took our leadership team through, and that spurred on a lot of great stuff. But when that was completed, I'm just like, I don't think I'm done here yet. And I think I want more of this. And so I messaged them and I said, do you ever let anyone, you know, take this content outside? And then, of course, I learned that they had a very small facilitation group. They had very high standards. Because they do great work and they expect great things. And so I said, well, you know what? I asked, can I at least apply? And they said, sure. So it was crickets for about, after that, for about almost a year. And I go, okay, well, I guess I didn't hit the mark. And then about 6 months ago, they reached out. They'd had some internal changes. They were relooking at some of the applicants. And they asked if I would be willing to run through a training program and you know, videotape and send them all, not video, I guess that's old school, but anyways, record it. There we go. Excuse me for dating myself here, Louise. So that was about 16 hours of recording and training content that I sent them, and that got reviewed and raked over. And about 3 months ago, they, you know, messaged me and said, hey, we think you're going to be a good fit for us. And so, you know, it was, again, just how much that material feeds a part of me, and just the opportunity to work with a small group of what I see as very much more talented than even me facilitators, was something that was just really, really exciting for me on top of what we're already doing here at Decor. It just felt like the cake got another layer of icing, and it's cream cheese, and I love cream cheese. So then again, back into the training and growing and learning their content. And so we referenced a post that I just put up on LinkedIn. Yeah. And that was sort of the first delivery. It's a 2-day delivery for this particular course. And you know it too, right? Like, I have always seen, whether it's in my days working in my church and leading things and, you know, in projects with youth and young adults, or whether it's here, anytime you enter any kind of, you know, training or facilitation, and, you know, you feel passionate about what it could do, it's like I get to go on these little mini journeys with people. Mm. And you start the journey, you're all a little hesitant, you don't know each other that well. And as I mentioned before, you see the dots connecting, light bulbs going on, and people getting excited and making application and trying things. And I just have become to understand, like, that is some of the greatest gifts that I've received, is to take that journey with people, and then to see some of the change that happens at the end. And so that was the last 2 days for me coming out of that, right? Yeah. There is no perfect organization. And we all know that, you know, we're all people and we're trying our best. We don't always get it right. But just to see, as I went through that journey, the possibility of change and growth and teams acknowledging some of the things that they were doing that was actually counterproductive to the other team, and and recognizing we don't actually want to even do this because we are good people. And to see that growth in front of me, I just like, yeah, I could explode and talk about this for an hour all at the same time. And I think you probably get that. So
absolutely. Yeah. That your insides are shining outside today. That's for sure. Tell me a little bit about the philosophy, because I know that the training and facilitation that you just did is around the outward mindset. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So I think at its very core, it's just coming to an awareness of my words, my actions, and even my feelings towards another person, and how all of those are going to have some form of impact on that person, that relationship, that team. And I actually have a choice in the kind of impact that I can have, right? Arbinger terms it as results. I can actually determine many of the results, you know, in my life. If I'm mindful of the fact that the only person I can control is me, right? I don't have control on how people are going to respond. But when I operate with what they call an outward mindset, and sort of the two choices are an inward mindset or an outward. And we would say inward as being someone who's more self-focused, or, and even we would say not always intentionally, but less aware of the, you know, the impact of their words and actions on others' objectives and goals, right?
Yeah.
And so as someone who strives to have an outward mindset, it's sort of this calling to look at someone and really try and see the humanity of them, right? Because the other choice is that we objectify them, and then that justifies all kinds of poor behavior and poor actions.
Yeah.
But it's this daily call to see people as people, as human beings, to not judge immediately that their intent, you know, if they hurt me or do wrong by me, was always necessarily even intentional. But to say, you know, I'm going to get curious enough to find out. If there's a problem, can we fix this? Can we resolve it? And then just continually as I'm doing my work, what is the impact on that person? You know, as I think about my manager and how I do my work, am I doing it in a way that makes life easier for them or more challenging? And it's beautiful too, in the sense that all the models, all the ideas, I can take this same stuff home, right? And as I, you know, relate to my wife, and we've been married 33 years, and that's no small task. And there's been all kinds of challenges there too, and she would admit that. it's like the same ideas and thoughts apply, right? How am I seeing her, right? Is she an ally or is she an enemy to me? And because that's going to have a huge impact on our ability to move forward, right? So so that's sort of the core pieces and sort of the heart of it, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely, right? Like when we can approach people, problems, situations with curiosity and without judgment, we just, like, the world changes for us. We come to solutions quicker. We partner together, right? We can move forward so much more quickly when we do that. And like you said, see the humanity in people by just kind of putting down our assumptions and our judgments for a moment.
Totally. And it creates this space that I feel like a lot of people don't believe can actually exist, where, you know, we can have a difference of opinions and believe different things, and yet we can still actually coexist and work together in a very healthy and productive way that doesn't have to undermine all the good that is available, because I'm a person and you're a person, and we actually want the same things, right? We want to be valued. We want to, you know, have a purpose and all of that stuff, right? And if that becomes our key focus, I just think anything's possible then, right? When it comes to people and what we want to try and achieve, home or work.
That's tingly for me, because we don't need to convince people to come on over to our side, right? What we need is to be able to share and communicate what our perspective is, what our opinions are, in a really healthy way, and that we can actually partner and create this synergy to move forward. And I think that's lovely. So, this whole idea too of understanding like our own self-awareness, like that we have that autonomy to make the choice. No, nobody makes the choice for us. We are in control all the time, and really to be empowered to take that choice back and to recognize, right, that we are choosing to see something a certain way, or we are choosing to feel a certain way about something.
Yeah. And I love it. You know, what you said there, that and how powerful that choice is that we get to make to change our lives and the lives of others, right? Like that is, we think about power, and that is, to me, that's what makes power beautiful, right? It's this mm-hmm. heart to choose, this idea that I can choose a different path.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be filled with anger or resentment or, you know, or carry this pain on my own, whatever it is. And it's very freeing.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Personally and professionally, right? And that's that whole idea too, is that, you know, when we kind of face that fear, when we use it and we start to step into our own power and make those decisions from a holistic point of view, we actually do, it's ripples. I've been saying this all week, right? It's ripples. It's yes. Ripples in a pond. And who knows what those ripples touch, and who knows who they touch. But we actually do start to change the world a little tiny ripple at a time.
Yeah. Right. I love it. Because it's true. I used to not understand that concept. Right. But in so many cases, it's the small things that you do consistently on a daily basis to the people that like you, that don't like you, that you connect with, that you don't, and the power of that impact.
Good. Well, I can talk until the day is long with you, Corey, and you and I have had some great conversations, and this won't be the last time we talk. I am absolutely going to keep tabs on you and see what you're doing and amplify that message right around an outward mindset. And so we will carry on this conversation outside of today's episode.
Love it. I look forward to that. I really enjoyed our time here together. So
yeah, absolutely. What would be kind of your nugget, or what would you hope people kind of take away from our conversation today? Because we've talked about a lot of things.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think really, as we think about fear, we talked quite about that in early on, right? And it's just, you know, I've just learned, like, in spite of your fear, if there's something in front of you and you feel like this is worth giving some time or some energy to, just push into that. Right. Yeah. Push into that. And the fear is going to be there. It probably won't go away, but don't let that be your guidepost. Right. Like, you know, I think passions are part of it. Obviously we do need certain skill sets. But I have listened to fear way too many times. And, you know, if we talked about even do-overs before at 52, I think that would be the big do-over. It's like, don't listen to fear so much. Don't wait for it to go away. Just keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And you will be surprised where life can take you and the doors that can open up. And it's pretty powerful. So I think that's where my heart would land today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and for me, it's kind of like when I look at your whole career journey and what you've done and how you've moved, kind of navigated through that fear, taking that step back and saying, okay, I'm not on the right path. And I know that there's something more and something different, but I'm not quite sure. And just really kind of taking a pause for a moment. And then being able to say, okay, now that I've done this inner work, I can actually now kind of pick up the baton and finish the relay race a little bit. It reminds me of this quote. I don't know where I heard it, so if somebody knows, you can drop it in the comments. But it's this idea of that when we move slowly, we can move smoothly. And when we have smooth surfaces, we can go fast, right? Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And that's kind of the idea of, like, when things are feeling really crunchy, let's take a pause, let's do the hard work so that we can actually accelerate our growth and our careers and our ripples become even bigger. So,
and if I can even speak to that really quickly, so you just triggered something inside of me. So, you know, you really, really nailed it, that pause, right? And when I took that painting role, I was really ashamed of myself. I felt like when people would come and talk to me, you know, you had all this influence and all of this and this and this, and now you're doing this, and what a waste, right? And And one or two said that. A lot of it could have just been self-inflicted negative, you know, thought patterns. But again, I looking back now, it's like that was the best decision I made because it forced me to stop, take that pause, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And I'll reevaluate and who do I want to be and what I want to do. And again, I was, you know, again, I was in my late 40s. And so people said, you're crazy if you're doing your career change so late. And yeah, there was some crazy stuff in there, but I don't know. Now I look back, I feel like I got a lot of good years ahead and that wasn't too old, you know? Like,
yeah, absolutely. 100%. I feel the same way about my choices as well. So thank you so much for joining me today. I'm going to leave the link to your LinkedIn in the show notes so that folks can reach out to you if they want to know more about Arbinger and you and your philosophies. I think it's so great. And so please reach out and connect with Corey. There in the notes, and I'll figure that part out too. Kim's not here to help me. But what I do know is that coming up next week is Less is More, and it's all about decluttering for, I have a spelling mistake, for your mental health with Carolyn Thor. So please join us, same bat time, same bat channel. We'll be able to do that. And if you want to reach out and talk to Kim or myself, you can find us at yourkickasscareer.com. You can also find us on LinkedIn. And please reach out and see what we've got going on. As usual, we're doing our mini series for macro results. And so our next little tiny tidbit of a workshop, these are 25 minutes, if that, on Little Micro Habits is coming up on April 4th. So you can join us there. So I think that's all I have to say for today. Corey, thank you so much. I'm glad we got this opportunity to connect. We're in the same province and yet we've never met in person. So we're going to have to figure that out a little bit.
It was really fun being here with you today. Thanks for this chance.
Great. So thank you, everyone. And take care. Bye for now.